asking for. Just a little more time could open closing doors. Just a little uncertainty can bring it down.
Good evening and welcome to the 62nd podcast of the Never Give Up Show. I am Bailey Smith, your host. Thank you, Charlie, for fixing my music. I forgot to tell you I need you to make it lower, but okay. I appreciate you doing that for me today. Okay, I don't even know where to begin. Tonight's show is, like I said, epic. So basically, this fell into my lap, this whole situation, this whole story, with a text, a message for somebody to be on my show. And I never expected to get a response. But I did, and I kind of felt that because that happened, somehow I need to get involved in this whole situation. So that's how I got involved. So I'm going to introduce the friend of the person who this is all about, and that is Sony. She's a physician assistant for over 20 years, caring for her community, mom of four children. Her ex-husband is an attorney, formerly for Child Protective Services. Her children disclosed severe child abuse, both sexually and physically, by their father from the same CPS, also known in Florida as DCF, agency he worked for. They did those investigations, wow, and covered up all the abuse. My children went into their father's custody and are still there. Two out of the four are failing to thrive educationally and emotionally. And as all my listeners out there know, this is why I keep fighting, because I have three young men in my life, my loves, my 18-year-old, my 22-and-a-half-year-old, and 24-and-a-half-year-old, who are suffering from horrific post-separation abuse, child abuse. And it is, every day, it's a challenge. Today was a very difficult day because I should be happy, but all my children will be home tomorrow. Instead of moving forward, some of them are moving backwards and having a tough time. So this is why I keep up the fight every single day and do what I'm doing. I'm sorry. I get very emotional. Because these horrific circumstances that occurred in Sunny's life, and because of the awareness that comes with it, she began to help other families to hopefully spear them from same of the horrific conditions she endured. For me, she says, this is a sort of post-traumatic growth, and it is my own therapy to help others. For these ladies, I hope it's justice for them and their kids. And this is how she met the mom who this show is about, and many, many others that are involved in these very similar situations, all up in the same areas in New York. And we'll get to how all of that is connected. Now we're going to get to Lizzie's story. So Lizzie confronted her husband, who's an affluential attorney, about his indoctrination of pedophilia, which he admitted in the recorded confrontation and via text. If you look at the comments of the show on Facebook and on LinkedIn, you will find a lot of these conversations. Elizabeth Harding Weinstein's marital income was $5 to $6 million a year. They had three marital residents. She's a Columbia grad who the husband entrusted her to raise their children for 17 years. She had no history of psych hospitalizations, no arrest history prior to divorce. Suddenly, is trafficked into a court-appointed guardianship, having no money for food at times and being denied funds to retain attorneys, homeless as the guardian signed the distribution of marital assets, suddenly became being called crazy. Pedophiles love to call their ledgers delusional, even though DSMB states circumscribed delusional disorder is non-institutionalized Americans, 0.2%, and is incarcerated for misdemeanors, even solitary confinement, as Lizzie was for 2 weeks. So I'm going to bring on, I know we have a couple callers, but I'm going to bring on our guest tonight, and I thank her so much. She's incredible. Welcome.
Hi, Bailey. How are you? Hi, Bailey. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Do you guys hear me okay? Because I'm on speaker.
I hear you
guys
great.
Hear me okay?
Very clear. Yeah.
Okay, because I was out all day, so my phone is being charged. I can't use both at the same time. Well, welcome, and thank you for doing this for Lizzie and for all the other moms out there that are in the same boat. Every story is different, but they're all the same because
right. It
all affects our children. So I'm going to hand this over to you to, you know, start wherever you want, and let's go.
Sure. Thank you. First of all, Bailey, thank you for doing this show and exposing the situation and helping to keep Lizzie's followers informed. It's really a blessing that you give us this opportunity. It's not just an opportunity for Lizzie, but it's an opportunity for all of us because friend or foe to the situation, we all seek justice. And denial of justice and denial of substantial civil liberties can be traumatic and suffering to the core. One of the things that we've noticed with Lizzie's case is in recent media, the chief judge of New York State stepped down, and there were a couple things occurring while she stepped down. One of them was she was being investigated by the Commission of Judicial Conduct for interfering with an investigation on another judge or somebody else. And that was one of the reasons, or one of the things that was occurring as she stepped down. But the other thing that happened while she was stepping down was that one of the other things that happened when she was stepping down is she was under investigation by the New York Civil Liberties Union, and that was for circulation of inappropriate confidential memorandums to judges how to regard certain evidence in evidentiary hearings for temporary orders of protection. And this is sort of the crux of Lizzie's situation, is that her attorney husband appears to be utilizing temporary orders of protection, which were well-intended for victims of severe domestic violence and abuse to escape safely. However, for her, it appears that he filed for orders of protection outside of the courtroom because she texted him too many times when he went missing, or that she was searching through his electronics after, you know, she found this pedophilia content, which apparently she says was he was authoring articles on teenage boys masturbating and touching themselves. So those were a couple of the restraining orders I believe he filed, or when she went to go pick up a check, things like that, nonviolent. And she has not yet, for quite a matter of time, maybe even a year or so, I'm not exactly sure, had an evidentiary hearing to present her perspective on these orders of protection. But the thing that the Civil Liberties Union was really interested in is the fact that these temporary orders of protection that are ordered outside of the court ex parte are being used as a means to steal property and as a means to remove access from children and deny substantial liberties. So you can see that's how Lizzie ended up having a $5 to $6 million a year income, three estates, and suddenly she's homeless and can't eat, and she's getting arrested on misdemeanors. They use the arrests from these temporary orders of protection with no evidentiary hearing to arrest her because she put balloons on her son's car when he got accepted to Duke University. She put a picture of her family and children on the internet. And these are things that they arrested her for in violation of the temporary orders of protection. And while, you know, some people may say she should have done something or should not have done something, in reality, she's responding to a traumatic and stressful situation. And while we can sit in our normal state in our home, in the comfort of our home, and decide how, in hindsight, we might behave to a situation, you don't know how you're going to behave in a situation when you're under severe trauma. So this is what they picked her up for, and they put her in jail, and they put her in solitary confinement for 3 weeks. And as you can see from some of the news reports floating around, people are pretty outraged that a woman, a mother, got put into solitary confinement for 3 weeks with no bail up till July 27th. Now she has a $100,000 bond or $50,000 cash bail to be able to get out on these simple misdemeanors. The other issues that are kind of brought up is the other thing that happened to her is like Britney Spears. Britney Spears was put into a guardianship, and Britney Spears was very controlled. She had to work when she didn't want to and so forth. I have to take a break here. Bailey, you know why. Are you there with me?
I'm back on. Are you there? Sunny? Hi.
Sorry.
Sunny? Hello?
Hey, Bailey. Are you? This is
yeah.
Jenny. Sunny had to take a break.
She took a break?
Yeah, she said something like, I have to take a break, and then it went.
I don't know what's going on. Okay, I apologize. I really apologize, everybody. We're getting a lot of callers in. Sunny, are you on? She probably has to go for a hold. I'm sorry. I apologize, but we've had a lot of callers. I'm going to bring on Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi. Did you want to say anything in the meantime? Yes, hi. Would you like to say anything in the meantime?
Yeah, that would be better than the silence. I didn't know if I should hang up or what.
No, I apologize. I'm the only one here, so I control what's going on here. So I had to log out
to check to see who was calling in, and then it wouldn't let me back in. So, do you have any questions? I just took her off. I'm sorry, Jennifer. We didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
I said it's okay. I said I've been following Lizzie's story a lot, and so I was just taking a listen. But I'm similar situation as far as my daughter.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I apologize for that. Well, thank you for calling in, and we'll come back to you shortly. Hi, I believe we have Hope.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, thank you for calling in. I went ahead and came to see who was calling. For some reason, I couldn't get back on. I think Sunny got another call that she had to take, but she'll be back on shortly. Did you have anything you wanted to add to what she was saying about the corruption and Lizzie's story?
Sure. I know Lizzie. I met her in D.C. We uh-huh. were doing a protest together. That's how we met. And I shared with her my story. I was shocked that she was in jail. And I shared my story with her of how, and this is even more shocking because I'm involved with all this because my daughter was murdered. And
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And it was her husband of 12 years. And there's three children in the mix, my grandchildren, and which I'm next to kin. And I don't know how the murderer who used his own children, he groomed his own children to help murder their mother. This is all
That's
documented.
Crazy.
And
That's crazy.
He used his children to lie to the police. So not only were these children, those three little girls, not only were these children a victim of the crime, they witnessed the crime. Now, there was a temporary order of protection. And then through this whole mess or whatever, we finally got him convicted, 25 to life. He still has his parental rights. So I look at this and how is she, as the mother of these children, she didn't murder anybody, and she's
right.
on this bail. I mean, she's charged with this bail and all these other things that are happening to her, and the convicted murderer who planned this murder of my daughter, he has been able to keep his parental rights. That's been my fight for over 24 months.
I've seen
and
it, so you're on Facebook, I've seen.
Yeah, we're connected too. So I'm still fighting, but I'm at a gridlock right now because from what everybody's going through, I believe, God works through us all in sharing our stories. And I hear what everybody's going through, and I'm networking with everybody, and I'm hearing it. You guys are kind of keeping me out of losing everything I own since this trauma happened to me. Or, the warriors we are, we're fighting these fights, and I'm thinking I'm not going into the family court arena because
I know
this family
that's
court
what a lot
judge,
of people say.
Yeah, if this judge is willing to subject three little children who witnessed were victims and witness of a murder and remove an order of protection from a psychopath like that, he could lock me up for fighting for these girls. So
right.
I'm fighting on the outside. I'm staying out of the arena right now. I'm focusing on the law end of it and
right.
reversing it. Instead of them charging me with frivolous crap, I'm searching on how I could hold my grounds of my constitutional rights and stay out of their jurisdiction. See, you can't get into that stuff. You don't go in their jurisdiction. Doesn't mean they can't come pounding on your door, because in New York State here, that's what they're trying to do with quarantines, passing these laws. But they can come knocking on your door as well. So these are very scary times. And, I mean, there's people out there who've been at this advocacy way longer than me. And they have filed thousands of complaints. They've done hundreds of lawsuits. They've done all that. And they've tried to file even criminal charges against these people. And it's going to have to be in numbers. And there's so many other things that are involved in it. It has to be in numbers that we all compile together and put our politics aside. They are destroying our children and families.
I'm going to have to put you on hold because Sunny's back. So
yeah.
We'll get back to you shortly, okay? Sunny, you're there?
I'm here. I'm so sorry. What happened is Lizzie called me while we were interviewing. I was hoping to bring her in on the show with us, but I couldn't do it with my cell phone and my iPad here. So I recorded her, and I'll make that link available after the show for people. And she's really appreciative and thankful for everyone that's following her story. The next topic I was going to touch upon is the other main situation of Lizzie's case is the trafficking of her into a guardianship. I'm a physician assistant. I reviewed the 730 examination that was performed on her. The way this occurred was she was arrested for not wearing a mask at the court clerk's office when she was trying to file documents. And I don't know for sure if those documents were obstructed from being filed to the record or whatever she was doing, but that's also concerning. The court clerk called the police because she didn't have a mask on, despite she was standing behind a glass partition and an appropriate distance from the court clerk. He called the police, and they removed her from the building and arrested her. The body cam of the cop was obtained, and this same court clerk that reported her was not wearing his own mask at the end of the video while he was communicating with police and other court staff. So it's apparent that he was not interested in the fact that Lizzie didn't have a mask on. This was for probably ulterior purposes. While Lizzie was arrested for not wearing a mask and also put into solitary confinement that time too, the judge ordered a 730 competency evaluation. And I know in that report it says that prior mental health records were not available to be obtained for this evaluation. And it also stated that she was not consenting to this particular evaluation because in her perspective, this was, you know, fraudulently ordered. It's something to do with her husband and his influence. So she was scared of the people that might be connected with him to do an evaluation. Regardless, they put in the report a diagnosis and said that prognosis was poor and that she did not have capacity. And that is how she was trafficked into a guardianship. She is a Columbia University graduate. She says the date and time of every single recording she makes. She knows where she is. She knows what the charges are to the extent that she writes advanced legal filings with the court. She's written a writ of injunction and multiple motions and so forth. So she clearly has competency to understand the charges before her. Upon being trafficked into the guardianship, she didn't get to pick a family member or somebody who would be the guardian of her assets or speak for her. She was court-appointed, without any of her input, Kenneth Bunting. And, Bailey, you did attach to your podcast some of the recorded calls that Lizzie has when she's begging him to send her money for food, and he won't even send her money for food. And this is substantial for somebody who had a multimillion-dollar estate and three homes in the Hamptons, and now she's homeless and at times can't afford food, literally. And I've witnessed it. So this is theft, by these temporary orders of protection without evidentiary hearings, and it's stuffed by fraudulent diagnoses to traffic people into guardianships. And it's proving very difficult for Lizzie to get out of the situation. This court-appointed guardian right now won't even pay for her bail to get out of jail. And these are the two big things of Lizzie's situation, both the abuse of temporary orders of protection, where they are protecting the thieves and jailing the wives. And Lizzie is not alone. There are multiple other women in this community undergoing the same torture, same substantial denial of civil liberties and theft of significant property. And this is what we also saw happening to Britney Spears. So these two things, I think, are what people need to understand are the biggest part of her case. And I think that that's what I have to say for now. Do you have any questions or anything that anyone would like to ask me?
I have a caller. I'm not going to go try to vet them because the last time I did, I couldn't get back on. I don't know what happened. And you got off, and I got off, and nobody was talking. And I apologize, guys, listeners. I apologize. We're back on. I'm not going to vet the callers if I feel that they're
sorry
not.
About that.
They're not. I've had a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, but I've had a couple of fakes, and it's traumatizing. So I try to vet, but since I don't have a co-host anymore, it's kind of hard to do on my own. I want to give out our number again. If you hung up, call us back, 516-531-9643, or you can listen to us live on the little link that I posted wherever I posted the show. I had to remove the large link because last week and the prior, people have had problems getting on. So I'm only going to use a short little link, and you can click on it, press the play button, and you'll hear us live. The show's also posted on SoundCloud right after the show's over, I'll post a link of Lizzie, who just tried to call in. Too bad. It's a shame. It would have been nice for you guys to hear what she's going through in jail, the horrific situation, the horrific conditions. She's there over a month now. But let's see who this is. Hello, welcome. Hello. Phone number ending in 6190. Would you like to talk?
Hi, Bailey. Sorry, I was on mute. This is Jenny Lynn. How are you?
Hey, Jen. I'm good.
Hey.
How are you? Jen can relate to a lot of you. I got to hook you guys up because you're all in New York. So you guys can start. Stacey's got, and we have another girl on, Sandra, are very well connected with Lizzie and all connected, and they're an amazing team of people. So
awesome.
I think it'll you'll be
well,
a good fit.
I know friend, Hope, that was on. I've teamed up with it's one of her best friends, Snow Tiger, out here in New York, upstate. Mm-hmm. And so me and Ethan have teamed up with her and are raising hell out here over a lot of the same issues.
Well, that's where Sandra and Sunny are.
Okay. Yep.
They're all upstate New York.
Okay. Awesome. And I've done a show with Lizzie before. When I was on that horrible media.
Yeah.
And yes, that has since turned. And so I was shocked to hear that Lizzie was in jail, and especially here in New York. I'll tell you, I've moved here in March of this year from Colorado, mm-hmm. which I thought was the most corruption I've ever dealt with.
Mm.
But coming out, all of a sudden I'm being stalked and harassed and false allegations being thrown at me and Ethan by his ex-wife. And the cops and the district attorneys do nothing. They're all paper dolls. Even with protection orders on these people, they've allowed neighbors to start harassing and writing sexual messages. And they've done nothing. And it's very sad that this is where our system is right now, because it's going down.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Sunny and I were on a phone conversation with someone who were trying to get to help Lizzie get out of jail. And they said to us, I said, you know, our kids are our future. And they said to me, there is no future. Do you remember that, Sunny?
Oh. Yeah.
That conversation
yeah,
on Friday and yeah. how I wanted to cry. I'm like, please don't say that. This is what we're fighting for. Our kids are our future.
Right.
He's not, this person is not wrong, but, you know, we don't want to think that. We want to think that somehow, some way, with a lot of noise and teaming up as advocates and working hand in hand, we somewhere. You know, I don't
yep.
think we can change a multi-billion dollar business organization. I don't think we can change a lot of the systems, but I think we can allow the public to know what is
yep.
happening, because so many people don't know. You know,
exactly.
if this whole story didn't fall into my lap, I would never have had the chance. And how it fell into my lap was I did not realize Lizzie was still in jail. So because
right.
I saw the post, the media post, and my heart broke, and I said, this is ridiculous. And, of course, I sent her a message, and I said, would you like to be on my show? And she also had her phone on there, her phone number, and I sent a text. And then, like, a few days later, I start getting messages like crazy from someone. And I wasn't even paying attention. It was another friend of hers who's the lawyer, Lizzie's lawyer, gave her her purse and her phone, and she saw my message. And Lizzie's like, tell her I'll be on her show from jail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so her friend Sunny said, I'll be on, I'll do it. And, you know, we spoke a lot, and I spoke with her other friend and her friend Sandra that's on. I'll bring her on shortly, and we just, that's how it just fell into my lap, and I kind of felt like, how can I walk away from this situation, you know? It's like, it's just, somebody's telling me you have to help, and if I can
right.
help, that's what I'm here to do. So, but it's corrupted.
Yep.
I live in Florida. It's horrific. Here, to get a restraining order is not easy. So all these expertise that are happening are very, very weird. And as Sunny was saying before, it's coming from one judge's order, and she is being investigated. So why are all the judges underneath her not being penalized? Because they're following her orders that she's
right.
being investigated
Bailey,
for.
Bailey,
yeah.
if I can also let all your listeners know and say this, Janet DeFiore is investigated by the New York Civil Liberties Union for, you know, giving inappropriate recommendations on evidence for temporary orders of protection. You should note that her husband works in the same law firm as
right.
Elizabeth Weinstein's husband.
Right.
Oh, dear.
Right. So that's one of the big, big deals.
The big
that,
deal.
And I'm gonna let's repeat that. Janet DeFiore, who is the head judge in New York, who is stepping down because she's being investigated on multiple claims, who has given orders to all her judges underneath her in New York, basically give an expertise, falsify information, and not give evidentiary hearings, which is all against the law, all against civil our rights, constitutional rights. Her husband and Brian Weinstein, I want to vomit saying that name, who's living
yeah.
technically real, they're still technically married, and we'll get to that. So Janet DeFiore's husband and Lizzie's husband are law partners. So where
Ooh.
Do you think this man, who's a pedophile, and was confronted by his innocent wife, got all these ideas of how to do what he's doing?
and why she's still in jail. Now, did I get that all right, Sunny? Sunny, did I get that right? Where'd you go?
Yeah, you did a good job.
So basically, the guardian that was hired because there was a false psych evaluation done, and I don't know if you mentioned any of that, Sunny. So that's why a guardian was appointed, and that's where her money is being held. So there's no bond money. That's all her husband's behind her husband. This man signed a divorce for her based on this false psychological. So when people are making up, people are saying, oh, well, she's crazy and this and that. You don't know what's going on. She's not crazy. She may be in not a very good frame of mind right now. And I've spoken to her in jail, and many people have, and there are a lot of clips from different people. She may sound a little bit erratic, but if you were locked up for going on over a month, not being given your vegetarian food, and outside for 1 hour a day, I would be probably going insane. So I think she's doing pretty well for someone that's in her situation. So, you know, we're out here speaking for her. Like I said, she wanted to be on the show tonight, and Sunny was going to try to connect her. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. But, you know, we're just being the voice. We're telling the truth. And these are facts. I've posted the links to this Janet DeFiore. You can look her up. What's Brian's law firm? Are we allowed to say that? Sunny?
I'll look it up.
Oh.
I'm not afraid to say anything, but...
Anyway, it's not... You could look it up and you can say it.
Okay.
But, so this is basically what's going on, and this woman went from being a mom 17 years with this man, finding all this stuff about him and just innocently confronting him, not thinking, not realizing that, you know, this would all happen to her. And that's how a lot of pedophiles, how they hide. They hide behind their kids. They hide behind the law. They hide behind all these things. Jenny, I'm going to put you on hold, and you can...
Okay.
Text me that info. Or I'll bring you on shortly. I'm
going to
bring. Yeah. Okay.
It's for David.
Bailey, what name were you looking for?
Well.
Oh.
What?
Davis.
Sunny.
Holton Wardwell.
What name were you looking for?
No, she was looking for the law firm. I didn't want you to say it. Say it again, Jen.
David. Polk and Wardwell.
Yeah, so you can look up what they do and how many millions and millions of dollars this law firm has and how powerful they are, and that's why they're able to do what they're doing to this poor innocent woman who really got blindsided. So I'm going to put Jenny's an incredible girl, and she's been on my show. She met her boyfriend through a Facebook group.
Yeah, through an alienation group. Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, he's dealing with it from the other end. And I guess together they're you know, helping each other. And
yep.
I would love to have the two of you on my show down the road.
We would love
But I'm going to put them on. Good. Excellent. Excellent. Because people think I'm biased, but I'm really not.
Right.
I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to bring Sandra on. Hello. Welcome.
Hi there.
Hello.
So,
you're back on.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Great.
So one of the things that I wanted to bring up that I think is real relevant to this whole thing, seeing these things happening with women who have children, and you're not seeing this with single moms or, you know, CEOs, and what happens is women who are married to powerful men, mm-hmm. and that category usually is monetary or position in power, could be political, once that financial part is cut, the abuse is unbelievable. And I have had also a similar situation, not exactly like Lizzie's, but millions of dollars gone, my kids' college money gone, inheritance gone. We had two homes. He had over 30 cars, boats, jet skis gone, business gone, property gone. And when I took him to court, you know, it's poor, all the poor guy. And five attorneys later, finally, people are looking and saying, wow, you know, there's money there, really. So we sit back as women because, number one, our main job is to take care of our children. Number two is to figure out a way to navigate the system so we don't go crazy. Therapists, good friends, still around to listen. you know, I don't know. Church, I have found to not be very helpful, unfortunately. I'm Catholic, and, you know, divorce is not part of that whole system there. So 4 years later, going on to 5 years, I just had a restraining order put on me, and it was based on one thing, is money. And so trying to keep me shut, and he filed bankruptcy, wasn't going to work. I have a severely disabled daughter who will never be able to be on her own, refuses to see her, refuses to see my other three boys. He also issued a restraining order on his own son just 2 weeks ago and is making everything in every possible avenue difficult because they want to bury us. And if women don't stick together, so we have all these individual dots around, you know, who's in the Midwest, who's in New York State, who's in Florida, you know, who's out west. There has to be some kind of collaboration of a huge population of all of us, of all different colors, of all different races, of all different religions, because the one thing we all have in common is we want to take care of our children. The one thing that I have battled in New York State is the child support system. I couldn't believe what a bureaucratic system. I actually got to Albany. I got to the head of child support, the director, and that is a huge money-making machine. The people that answer the phone are actually subcontractors to New York State. They are not educated in any financial background. It's just a calling center. And
Sandra, can I interrupt you?
Sure.
Can I interrupt you? I'd love to have you
sure.
on a show where you can tell your whole story because your story is another kind of fascinating. But we have other callers. I don't mean to be rude.
Not at all.
Can I bring you back on in a couple of minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Don't hang up.
No, I'm not
we
hanging up.
Somebody.
I promise.
Okay. Sunny, this is supposed to be your show. I'm bringing on another guest, and then we're going back to you. I hope you're here. Jennifer?
Hey.
Are you there?
Thanks.
Hi.
I'm here. So my name's Jennifer Como. You guys just probably see me a little bit everywhere, Facebook, LinkedIn. I try to be as vocal as I can. I just have a quick question about Lizzie. You guys were talking about the attorney. Who is Michael Schmidt? Does anybody know that guy? Because he is talking smack. He was on Surviving the Internet talking about her.
That guy, that's what Jenny was talking about.
I knew it.
When he first started, I'm going to bring Jenny on for a quick second. Hey, weren't you one of his first people?
I was, and okay. I walked away
that was
from
a,
him at
that was I. That, okay, so we helped him start his thing. I was on there with that Marianne
yep.
Petry, who ended up hanging up. I never got her on. And he's full of crap, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
why he is, you know, he was out there doing all this bouncy crap with going after these predators. And now what, is he siding with the bad people? I saw links to that. Yeah.
His thing, so I he came out to my home in Denver when I lived out there. He kept saying, I'm going to get famous. I only want to get famous. And he literally, him and his wife, lived off, and they still do. I think he finally got a real job at
the GoFundMe.
They live off the GoFundMe that parents get them. And then he wants to be famous, and so he wants all the likes and all the comments and his show to have the ratings. So he makes it into a Jerry Springer show. And he'll go out there and trash someone that's come on his show, even without investigating or getting the evidence. He's not a true private investigator.
No.
He's a liar
no.
and a fraud, and everybody needs to be aware.
Yeah. And he doesn't realize that I have to block him. I have to take him off my thing. But he doesn't realize that going with the bad people, he's going to lose people following him. When Marianne Petry and I were on his show and Jenny was doing his show, Jenny's boyfriend or husband, whatever they are, was doing his show. He had a lot of followers. And we were like from the beginning when he first started. So let's not even bring him up. Whoever he interviewed, I don't want to hear about it. Sonny, do you know who this guy is, this attorney?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know him, but... you're talking about that Michael guy that was on Don's show, or are you talking about Don?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don is not a good person.
Yeah, no. I watched his presentation, and he claimed that it was someone from both sides, but it was someone from one side, and then just someone who wasn't even paying attention to represent the other side.
Right.
So there was no fair
representation. I don't follow him, and we're not connected at all. So I figure he's trolling Lizzie. He's trolling her, this attorney guy. Because he came on my LinkedIn page, and I've got a lot of followers there. And we talk, you know, about domestic violence and whatnot, and the courts a lot. So he blew up my page, and so I pulled his card, and he deleted
his comments.
He's probably
father's right. He's probably from the father's rights people, and he's trying to get info. That's probably what it is.
Well, actually, I if you're talking about the Michael Schmidt guy who claims to be an attorney, he's
correct.
Been private messaging everyone who speaks up for Lizzie's case, and so I know some of the people that are listening to the show right now also were victim of him private messaging them, and he actually lied about who he says he is, because he said he came to know of Lizzie's situation from Jackie Franchetti, but in reality, when he private messaged people, he said that he's friends with Brian and people friends of Brian out. Yeah, so and, you know, and like I said, when your listeners right now, that's what he said to her.
What is he? What's his name? Michael what?
Michael Schmidt.
Michael Schmidt.
Is it Schmidt or is it Smith?
It's S-C-H-M-I-T-T. It's
I just got... because Michael Smith actually just requested my friendship, and I try to be very careful because these people can only find me through a group or a mutual friend. But I will make sure that, yeah, he's the same guy, I think. Does he have a white beard? No, he doesn't. I saw him yesterday. Okay, whatever. Doesn't matter. I'll just keep an eye open. But people out there that are friends with any of us, please be careful. Vet all the people that you take on as friends, because Jennifer, I'm going to put you on mute. Thank you for bringing that up and bringing that to our attention, because it's very important. If you don't keep your friends private and people can only see who you have as mutual, they can go through your friend list. And if you belong in a group, be careful who you take on as your friends, because then they can see the people that you have mutual friends. And a lot of these people are out there, and this is just a side note, just to be cautious. Like this guy, he's exactly what she just said. He's a troll, and he's, you know, trying to get information. So, you know, yeah, we don't care. We're sharing the stories, but we don't need, right now, Lizzie doesn't need extra bad press or any extra, you know, crap. Right, Sunny? Are you there? Did you agree with
that? Yeah, and especially she doesn't need agents of her ex calling and pretending to be there someone other than they actually are.
Right. So let's, can we continue with what's going on with Lizzie?
I'm sorry, you wanted to continue about what's going on with Lizzie?
Yeah. I don't know where we left off.
All right, well, today, today she had a situation happen, and a lot of people were asking questions about it. And so let's provide some clarification for her followers, basically. Lizzie had a writ of habeas corpus prepared, which puts you before the judge, to say that, you know, I'm unlawfully being detained and this needs to stop now. And a writ of habeas corpus is an emergent pleading before the court, and it's supposed to be heard on an emergent basis before everything else. And she had it all ready to go. And her attorneys, who she fired, all of a sudden showed up to pick her up at jail. They picked her up at jail at 6:30 in the morning, took her over to the court, and they had this supposed emergency bail hearing that they never told Lizzie about. Lizzie never signed anything. Lizzie never participated in the construction of this proposed or alleged emergency motion to reduce her bail. So she was kind of taken by surprise and brought in front of the same judge for her writ of habeas corpus. And the and she said, "Judge, I am aware that my writ is supposed to be heard above everything else, and these attorneys are people that I fired. I had no knowledge of this emergency bail thing that they did all of a sudden. I would like my writ heard." And apparently the judge said, "You're not going to tell me what to do in this court," and he sent her back to jail again, no reduction in bail, no hearing of her writ, and said she had to sit there until they do her 7:30 competency evaluation, which is very alarming because we already know the what to do with her first competency evaluation, that basically there was no evaluation and they still arrived upon a diagnosis. So that is what happened today from Lizzie's perspective. And Mr. Ritz also did communicate that he did this by email. I saw this today as well, so I heard from him as well, and Lizzie's perspective, and that is what really happened. I heard from both her lawyer, well, not her lawyer, but Mr. Ritz, who she fired, you know, communicated by email, and I heard from Lizzie.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You didn't share that with us today.
You know, there was a news story out there saying that Lizzie refused her emergency bail hearing. Well, that's not what happened. She had her writ all done, writ of habeas corpus all done to appear
right.
before the court.
Right.
And instead flew in her attorneys that she had nothing to do with, never consented to their motion that they filed. And in fact, when you look up on Ninth Theft, that was never even filed to her case, this emergency bail hearing that they said that they were planning. So her writ never got heard, which is wrong. So she has to deal with that because that's supposed to be an emergency hearing.
Right. And anybody can prepare one as long as it's done properly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And to serve it, you can only just give it to one of the court or one of the jail people, and that's considered service. It's such a emergency action. And it's supposed to be heard, and he denied her that.
So again, her rights were violated.
Uh-huh. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then they're trying to say, well, you did something wrong on your form or this or that. And again, A, she's pro se, so they're supposed to have, you know, Haynes versus Kerner, they're supposed to have some forgiveness if a pro se litigant makes
right.
an error on their form. But B, the writ of habeas corpus. Again, it's such an important emergency pleading that even if there are some mistakes in the form, as long as they can tell it's the person who tell the identity of the person that wants to appear, they're supposed to still proceed with it. So it is not true that she refused this bail hearing when, in fact, she actually had the writ prepared and this other bail hearing. I don't even know if it's actually true because there's nothing that was filed to her NYSEF case.
So let's explain to everybody what this evaluation that the judge wants her to have. Explain to everybody what this is exactly and why she is so afraid. Well, we know why she's afraid, but explain, you know, a little bit more about why she's refusing it.
Okay, so a 730 competency evaluation is a very brief, minimal examination where, you know, you show that you know person, place, and time, that you know who the people are involved in your case, and you know the charges before you and the repercussions. That's it. It's so brief and so simple. But she had one that before from the arrest from not wearing a mask. And I read the evaluation and it said that they were unable to obtain any prior mental health records to corroborate any illness. And she was refusing to consent to the current evaluation because she was concerned it was, you know, in cahoots with her ex.
It was setting her up. Right.
Yeah, and they still gave her a diagnosis, and they gave her a prognosis that was poor, that she must be, you know, she didn't have capacity.
Incompetent.
Yeah, and I read that, and that's what it clearly says in the documentation. That's not, you know, good medical practice. And so, of course, she's going to be afraid to be subjected to the same thing by the very same people. It's the same court that did it to her in the first place. So this very basic exam, all of her listeners can tell that she has that level of capacity that she represents herself. She writes her own actions, you know, her own filings. She clearly knows date and time, and she really knows where she is right now. So she has capacity. And even still, from the first 730 where they said that she didn't have capacity, they released her from jail with no services. And how alarming would that be if you felt that somebody didn't have capacity and just said, yeah, you're out of here? Like if they really didn't know where they were or know what time it is or who the people are involved in their case or couldn't understand the charges before them, then that's somebody you probably want to link with some services to safely send them out of the jail.
Right. It's also hypocritical, like one thing from the next to the next to the next. It all is so, it's so obvious that there's stuff going on here that's so criminal and so full of corruption. And yet they continue to do it and get away with it. It's just mind-boggling.
There really needs to be greater awareness of this situation and probably, you know, people banding together and not allowing this to happen. Really raise our public voice. Be loud about the situation.
Right. Well, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, Janet DeFiore stepped down during this investigation of inappropriate directives about temporary orders of protection and the evidence. But did anyone do anything about the damage to all the people that have happened because of their evidence being ignored from these temporary orders of protection? Did anyone do anything to remedy that, to redress these problems? No. You know, maybe DeFiore stepped down, but what about all the people that are affected by what has happened here?
Right. Right. And it's a chain. Because how long has she been the top judge there?
Yep.
How many years?
I don't remember. I think it might be a 14-year term, and she did a number of years, but I can't remember.
But all the judges underneath her that are following her line of, or her way of,
but you have to,
of corruption.
You have to understand. Yeah, you have to understand. My personal opinion is that judges are not valued by their employer on how ethical and law-abiding their decisions are. In my opinion, if you were to ask me how judges are viewed by their employer, is their employer being the state, is that they maximize income for this or minimize exposure to litigation. Those judges are held in the highest regard by their employer. And so when you see these temporary orders of protection and theft of millions of dollars from families like Lizzie's, and can you imagine the money that's being stolen by these temporary orders of protection and no evidentiary hearing? She lost 3 estates. She lost millions of dollars. Where did it go?
Right. Well, right into his partner's pocket that is shared with this head judge. I mean, how else, you know, it's so clear. Cases are complicated. Her case is so clear cut. It is so clear cut from the beginning. Innocent mom finds the stuff on her husband's iPad, innocently confronts him, he promises to get help, disappears, and then boom. All of a sudden, 2 years later, she's in jail for over a month with all this crap. It's so clear cut. And then you look at, yeah.
Well, there's something else that's highly offensive that you and I talked about, Bailey. And that's that people are saying, oh, because of this diagnosis of bipolar, which again, in my opinion, is fraudulently applied. If she has bipolar, then there's no way that this husband did these things. 3 to 7 million Americans have bipolar disorder. So are they saying that 3 to 7 million Americans, if they catch someone molesting a child, that they're not credible and therefore the pedophile didn't do these actions? Are we saying that many people in the United States are not credible if they find something just because of a diagnosis of bipolar? So let that child live in trauma because the reporting person has bipolar? Is that the child's fault?
Well, for 17 years, it was no problem until she uncovered his crap, his criminal behavior.
Right. No history of psychological, no history of suicide, no history, suicidality, no history of homicidal threats. 17 years, no arrest, no
bipolar. In the last 2 years, she popped up with bipolar after 17 years of raising her children and being the perfect wife. I mean,
exactly.
How like ignorant can people be? Okay, we're not talking about the inside, the organization of people, the bad people here that are all connected in this puzzle. Well, whatever you want to call it. But we're talking about people that are out there that are judging,
you know, this like I said, there's stories, there's people's stories, there's the husband's stories, there's hers, and then there's facts. And her proof of what she found and what was done to her is so clear cut that, and the saddest part is that there is no lawyer, high profile lawyer, that wants to take this case because it's like it's career suicide. And I look at it like, if you're an amazing attorney, you're going to figure out a way to use what these other people are doing against them, to gaslight them. But so far, no high-profile attorney has come forward to say, hey, I'll take this case. I'll worry about the funds later on. Because I believe with this. I'm looking at all the facts. I posted it. Almost everything's on the internet right now. And I'm sure on it's Lizzie's Army page. I mean, it's all out there, and everything is her criminal case is probably public, so an attorney can get a hold of it without a problem. So, you know, it's like amazing how all these people out there who are advocating and writing laws and all kinds of stuff are all hush. Nobody's coming forward to help this woman. She's in jail for over a month on false charges. Where is everybody? Why did this have to fall into a couple of us' laps? And why are we the only ones out there speaking up about it? Yeah, there was this one journalist that did write something up on it, and maybe she's watching, and I don't know what she's waiting for, but why hasn't she continued to report on this story? You know, media and professionals that come forward and speak, it's very important. And if you're real, you don't care what people say about you. If you believe in this woman and you look at the facts, you want to help her if you're real at what you're doing. So all the minions out there that are writing up laws and that, you know, are trying to get laws changed because they've lost children, where are you now not speaking up for this woman? Yeah, I'm talking to you guys. You know who you are. Because I'm sick and tired of people doing what they want, doing what's best for them to get their names out there, but not helping an innocent woman who's in jail. I mean, it's mind-boggling. You know, Sunny and I was able to get in touch with someone, and an amazing, powerful person, and, you know, they were willing to help her. And we're still trying to figure out in what way they can, in the safest way. And, you know, this person has so much on their plate, and a family. And all I'm saying is that, you know, where are the advocates? Where are the people that are out there speaking up, writing books, all this stuff? Where are you? I'm a nobody. I'm an advocate. I try to help. I'm a court watcher. I'm going to be an author hopefully soon. But I'm out there doing and speaking and trying to help this poor woman because it fell into my lap. And I've tagged so many bigger people, big people out there. Nobody's come forward to say anything. Oh, the eye care emoji. I don't need your eye care emojis. I'm sorry. I'm angry. Sunny, you want to take over?
Well, I think, you know, we covered three real important aspects of Lizzie's case tonight. We covered
the abuse of temporary orders of protection with no evidentiary hearing, and how they're used to commit theft of property and deny access to children and commit substantial civil liberties violations. We talked about how Lizzie was trafficked into the guardianship with a false psychiatric diagnosis. She clearly is a competent woman, is a Columbia University graduate. And we talked about how she went to court today and she had her writ of habeas corpus that she was intending to bring before the judge today. And somehow
she wouldn't even look at it.
Yeah, the judge wouldn't even look at it. And these fired attorneys slipped in this other supposed motion for bail reduction, even though nothing showed on her case to be filed in the court. And they did not ask her consent to file this pleading. And she was sent right back to the jail to sit and wait for a 7:30 competency evaluation, which we're all very concerned about because the first one doesn't appear to be written under the most genuine circumstances. So those are three huge aspects of her case. And I just want to, you know, remind people sometimes when they lend criticisms, you know, about knowing a piece of the case and not the whole picture or what have you. There is a, in my town, there is a time, and this is an unfortunate situation, but where a woman was mauled by Doberman pinchers, and I don't know if she died or just was severely maimed, but the owner of the Doberman pinchers didn't have much accountability, and the owner of the Doberman pinchers went to court and tried saying, if only she listened to my directions to stand still, this wouldn't have happened to her, and kind of, you know, blamed the victim. And people mm-hmm. have to remember that when we're watching somebody who is sent through solitary confinement for 3 weeks, who's been imprisoned, who, you know, was naive to the whole criminal system because she was never arrested and just was a good stay-at-home mom raising her children, when that's all ripped up from you, it's hard to adjust to the extremes. And so you can't look at her and think about how you might behave in your comfy setting of your home. You have to understand that she's enduring horrific circumstances and extreme torture and substantial denial of her liberties. So we have to keep that in mind as we listen to her and remember that that's how we might act too if we were being tortured. The reality is, she is in prison. She's been in solitary confinement for 3 weeks. She's still in jail, $100,000 bail for misdemeanor charges. And I don't understand how anyone could think that this is okay. Not when there's criminals out there with no bail at all. We have here in our town, I was telling you about how my ex-husband was an attorney for Child Protective Services, and my children disclosed abuse by him. After him, they hired a sex offender to be an attorney for Child Protective Services. His name is Nicholas D'Angelo from Niagara County, New York. He was hired knowing he's a sex offender by CPS to be an attorney. And the inevitable occurred, and now he's indicted on 11 charges of rape, one of those being a 16-year-old girl in DSS custody. And now there's discussion that there might be a 12-year-old victim as well in DSS custody.
It's like they set it all up.
Yeah. So
mind-boggling. It's still mind-boggling to me, even after being a court watcher and watching stories like this, and
mm-hmm.
literally, like I say, the courtroom's a shit show. It's like, it's so horrible that it's comedy almost. And
so So this attorney, he's indicted on 11 charges of rape, two minors, which is sex trafficking of children. He is still a practicing attorney, and he is out bail free for 3 years.
Wow.
These are felony charges that could put him in jail for more than 35 years. And Lizzie is still in jail, $100,000 bail on misdemeanors. People, you need to understand the difference. you have a man who appears to have committed child sex trafficking through his official capacity with Child Protective Services, and he is still a lawyer, still practicing, still access to children, out bail free, and Lizzie is endured 3 weeks of solitary confinement, is still in jail on misdemeanor charges with $100,000 bail.
Unbelievable. Friggin' believable. I'm going to bring, I believe this is Hope. I'm going to bring her back on because she keeps falling off and calling back in. You're back on. Is that Hope?
Hi, guys. Hi.
Hi.
I have like a ton of questions. I mean, I've been texting too, back, or messaging back and forth, but my questions are, you know, well, we all got to take into consideration the atmosphere, what's in the air in New York State, okay? When you got the governor and the attorney general working with the New York State Health Department, Mary Bassett, to try to freely quarantine people just because they think you might have COVID or monkeypox or you look funny. They just want that authority. And we do have an attorney in New York State, Bobby Ann Cox, she took it on and to stop them from having this authority over us people. And she won, but now they're putting something together to appeal that. So we got that atmosphere up in the judiciary hellhole anyway. So with Lizzie and her situation, I cry for her because when I met her, we cried together that I'm trying to prevent this from happening to my three granddaughters, that they're going to take guardianship of them. And if I go into a courtroom, they're going to just do the same kind of crap to me. In fact, I got a call from my district attorney. He gave me the silver bullet. He's very concerned about my mental health, and he strongly considers I get a mental health evaluation. Well, everybody knows in the advocacy world that is a silver bullet, and that came from my district attorney, okay? So it is in the environment, and it doesn't matter the amount of money you make or what field of work you are in. This is the environment of New York State and across the country from what I'm picking up. I've got a couple questions. It has Lizzie in any way, shape, or form requested a conversation with a sheriff. I'm learning as I'm going along in my hell that, you know, the sheriff is the highest ranking officer of the land and in the Constitution, being protected by the Constitution or whatever. If she's request, if she could request, or maybe we could find her in her area, they do come in, they can come into the jail, she can have conversations with a constitutionally friendly sheriff that believes in his oath and is believed for the people. At least she's got someone in an official capacity under oath as the sheriff to be a voice and file an official report within himself. You see what I mean? She's got no one right now, a court-appointed attorney who runs parallel because he's probably
sworn in. She
doesn't have a
court. She does not have a court-appointed attorney. Her attorney she hired her attorney, and I guess they're kind of being by her husband because they did release $15,000 to these two attorneys who she's trying to fire, but the Guardian did release $15,000 for these two attorneys, so I'm assuming, and they haven't done anything for her, so I'm assuming her husband is behind that. But, and Sunny, jump in at any point, but I don't think she wants to have anything to do with any of these sheriffs, because these sheriffs are the ones that she went to that, first of all, decided that texting her husband, are you okay? Is everything okay? I don't know where you are. You left the house. Is called stalking and harassment. I mean, it took me 3 years to get my ex locked up, and I was really stalked and harassed. And they gave her her first ex parte. And then it continued on from there. So they're not really her friends.
Well,
you know, they're not
there
to help her.
Well, the one she dealt with, she wasn't. There's an establishment within all police departments, but I went through the same thing with my sheriff here.
I'm not a big fan. Right. I'm not a big fan of cops and captains.
No, but you're going against criminals.
And,
you're going against criminals. I'm not a big fan of cops either. But we're against criminals. We got to have some kind of a law that we can turn to. And I just learned from.
They don't care.
You know,
they don't care. They don't care.
Well, some
do.
We just got to find them.
Ladies, one thing, just so you can understand. So, yes, that George Ritz and Gus Medina, both of them were in total. They worked together, so it wasn't 15 each. But they were paid a $15,000 retainer by the court-appointed guardian, Kenneth Bunting.
Unbelievable.
And when Lizzie finds an attorney of her choosing, one of the instances was Heather and Lucy, when Lizzie wants to retain someone, the guardian will not release funds for the retainer of an attorney for her choosing. So it becomes suspect that the ones that the guardian will allow to get paid are agents of Mr. Weinstein, and the ones that he won't pay are ones that indeed might help Lizzie. That is that concern there.
Yeah, well, there's nobody in official capacity in her corner. She's got to have someone. I mean, lawyers are lawyers. I had a lawyer tell me the same thing. You know, give me $5,000, you'll be hugging your grandkids by Friday. They're all a club. They're worse of a club than trying to weed out some kind of, especially a sheriff, because they're voted by the people. And, you know, they take an oath under their, you know, voted by the people for the people. I'm not saying they're not crooked in their system either. But if you can come across a constitutionally, he's a neutral, he at least will be in official capacity to where he can.
And what is he
going to
do, go up against the judge? Is he going to go up against the judge?
No, what he'll do is
corrupted?
He'll do whatever Lizzie needs him to do under oath. He took an oath. Uphold the Constitution to protect her. So if Lizzie wants him to go talk to the judge, then he can. So it's anything Lizzie wants him to do. But you got to find a sheriff that is constitutionally friendly and for the people. And right now there are a lot of them in part of the establishment, a lot of them, and they'll throw you under the bus, which is what happened to me.
I'm sorry, I haven't met one.
Yeah, well, they're out there because there's one running for him now. He's a constitutional sheriff. He's running up against the organization of the – there's two types of sheriffs. So, yeah, they're there. They just haven't been allowed – they've been cut down by the where the power is, the money. So a constitutional sheriff will do nothing for money. When you got the other type, they're doing it all for the money and they're going to stand with the organization. You'll see them, and they're in the courtroom.
Sunny, what do you have to say about that?
I have heard that sheriffs have the most power in the community, but it is a matter. I would imagine it's no different than trying to find an attorney she can trust in terms of finding a sheriff that's indeed devoted to the Constitution and the people. I run everything by Lizzie. I don't make really decisions for her. And I always tell people over and over, this is Lizzie's case. This is Lizzie's money. This is Lizzie's children. This is Lizzie's life. So I don't substitute judgment for her. I offer her people's suggestions and opinions, and I allow her to make her own decisions for herself. Especially I'm careful to do that because right now that's exactly what everyone wants to rob from her.
Yeah, exactly. And knowledge is power. Just keep fishing her knowledge so her choices are broadened, you know, and it's not always, you don't even need a lawyer if you are really confident in the Constitution and know what your rights are, which I've been working on because it's a study. Because we've been dumbed down, okay? We've been dumbed down for decades. We haven't been educated of our constitutional rights and our civil rights. Nobody taught us in school. And they did that intentionally. The government did it intentionally. And here we are, You know, none of us are knowing what to do. We're running around with, you know, like our heads are cut off. We're losing our families.
I actually posted a couple of different links, different constitutional rights, different amendments. If you're friends with me on Facebook, when I posted the, I think I posted it under the Sophie story, her video. One of the things, I posted three separate links of different constitutional amendments, constitutional rights that have to do with what she's been violated with. Read them. Because those are probably the same things that apply to you. But all you have to do is Google my constitutional rights based on whatever, and just Google whatever it is that whatever it falls under will pop up.
And
Lizzie study
doesn't have access to it.
Sunny was saying that she does not have good access to that stuff, right?
Yeah, she was saying that at the Westchester County Jail, that the women's prison law library is terrible. It's nothing compared to the one that the men have.
Yeah.
And sometimes they even deny her access to that.
Even if she, you know, is, you know, if we could feed her knowledge, I'll start writing her letters with things that I'm experiencing out here. At least she's got more tools in the toolbox to pick up if she has to. File a police report. You know, she has the right to call a sheriff in, and I want to file a police report. She's allowed to file 1,000 police reports if she wants. She could at least get it legally documented, because then the sheriff will have a case number. So she could file a police report that they're doing this to her, and make it a criminal issue of what they're doing to her. At least she's keeping record. Right now she's not keeping record. She's just floating around, and that makes me nervous. You know, there's nothing but hearsay.
Okay, that's true. But are they going to go inside and investigate it? No, they'll just write up a report.
And maybe not, but they may not investigate or anything like that, but at least she's got an official document from the sheriff's department. And why not? Then, you know, if she gets in a position, here's another option.
You're right.
She can hire, you know, so knowledge is power. Let's feed it to her.
Yes.
I'd love to get her address.
Sunny can tell you that she sent her pens and stuff. How long ago?
Yeah, so a couple of things. You can send her things from the commentary.
Hope I'm gonna put you on mute. Okay. Yeah, go on.
You can send her things from the commissary. You just go onto the website for Westchester County Jail, and they can send her pens and paper or snacks. You know, she's vegetarian. But also, she has publicly posted her jail address, so people can write her letters, and I'll post that to your show today. I'll post that in the comments.
Okay. Let's bring Sandra back on. We have 27 minutes left. Sandra, I'm sure you have lots to say.
No.
Congratulations.
I'm good.
I heard that yesterday, was it yesterday? Went?
Yeah.
Okay for you. But let's talk about that another time. I just want to say congratulations.
I'm still recovering.
Well, I'm sure you are. It's never fun to have to go to court. So tell us how you met Lizzie.
Well, let's start with how I met Sunny. So, I have pounded the pavement. I don't even know how many people I've talked to. I arbitrarily called lawyers. I navigated Erie County public assistance offices, child support, therapists, anything that I could get to help me and my kids. So, I'm on Facebook. I see kind of, you know, things going on. We connected. And then a whole new world opened up. And honestly, from, you know, my case story, yes, they are all very similar. But yet everybody's a, you know, everybody's a little bit unique on their own thing, but all very similar. We're navigating a system that does not work. We are women. We are mothers. We are educators. We are contributors to you know, our society. And the system is not working. And yes, the comment that the person said, you know, it's a dead-end street. I don't believe that. You know, I think at the beginning of time, who's ever made changes throughout history, that has been a lifelong challenge. And I think this group that's evolving is the same thing. It's right. Not easy. You got to have thick skin. You have to have people look at you and go, you're freaking crazy. I say thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. And your ability to communicate and articulate what is happening in your case without the emotions going crazy allows the communication line to open up. And people don't want to hear our stories sometimes because there's nothing in it for them. You know, we live in a capitalistic society. The more crap we own, the better off we are as human beings. Well, that doesn't come down to our kids. What? The more kids you own, the more, you know, crap you get. You know, it just doesn't work that way. So education, knowledge is powerful. I've sat powerful attorneys recently, and I told them I was very honored to be able to sit here and speak to somebody in such a high-level position because they looked at me as a huge part to help them. So if I was to go in there and give them my whole story, they're not interested. I have to come to a level, we all do, have to come to a level where we can communicate, and like the other woman that said on there, is documented. I have been documenting things for the past 8 years. I've been heavily documenting for the past 4 years. It finally is coming full circle. You have to have a lot of patience and a lot of tenacity and a lot of perseverance to keep pushing. And sometimes people's just innate character, they don't have the ability to do that. I think you're kind of born that way. And when you are with other people and maybe that part of you is not really good, the other tribe is going to lift you. And many women I have found don't have their own tribe. They don't have a tribe. I have had probably 10 to 12 people help me for the past 3 to 4 years, maybe more, 15 to 20, I would say, on and off. Who came on, who left, who. I couldn't have done it alone. I couldn't have done it alone. And it's still going on. It's not ended. So, I think it's important that these go on and get more public out there, and these things will have a domino effect. I see it myself. Right. I see it with the other people on Facebook.
We're you know, all the advocates that I've been advocating for years with, we're still friends. You know, some of us have gone into different directions with our advocacy. You know, I started off advocating for mental health because that's where this all comes from. And I was dealing with it with my kids and stuff like that. and people contacted me and asked me to be on podcasts and, you know, different kinds. And I said, look, I went through domestic violence. And they said, it's okay, we don't care. And that's how I started. And, you know, we are still out there advocating. We're still good friends. I look up to them. I think they're incredible people. And we're a team. No one's better than someone because they're writing a law, or nobody's better because they're an author, or nobody's better because, you know, we're just here fighting the same fight for the same people. And in the end, it's really all about our children, who are our future. And in my lifetime, I will see my kids be happy and healthy. And that's where my fight is every single day. And I think that's where Lizzie's fight is. And that's what she was fighting for 2 years, was to have that connection with her kids. And, you know...
But you know, like I said, you know, I'm going to reiterate what I said before. Numbers are powerful. The more numbers get together, the more powerful you become. One by one of us in each state, or one by it just is not going to work that way. It's got to come together as a mass. And when I was navigating the child support system, you just feel like all of a sudden you're in a foreign city. And you're lost. And it's like, it's only 20 minutes from where you live. It seems like another world. You don't know. You can't, you know, call up a friend and whatever. You have to meet the people that are going to help and guide you. And I'll be honest with you, I found none. I did it on my own. And the information is limited. The system is designed for you to drop out, okay? The system is designed for you to get frustrated. People that are like us, it doesn't work because we find it a challenge. Okay, if this doesn't work, I'm going to do this. And if this doesn't work, I'm going to do that. But it takes an unbelievable amount of effort. It takes an unbelievable amount of courage. And I give... A lot of, you know, I give a lot of compliments to women that have really pushed hard. And I tell them, just don't give up. You can't.
Right.
And
that's the name of the show.
I've dealt with a major medical issue for the past 15 years. I have an autoimmune that runs under MS. And up to this date, I've had 100 chemo infusions. And that's how I live. Do I say I get it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I keep going. I push and push. Your mind is a powerful organ, and we need it to be inundated with good things, with positive things, with people around you that lift you and don't bring you down.
Yep. Well, thank you so much, Sandra. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to try and give everybody a chance. Sunny, you're on if you ever want to pipe in. I'm going to bring Jenny Lynn back on.
I just think this is such a wonderful show tonight. This has been going on. Your show has been since 7:30, and
you have a
full audience and support and everyone that's listening, and it's so wonderful, and I truly appreciate it.
Thank you. You know, we don't always get callers. Sometimes I just have listeners and people texting me questions and stuff like that, people that call in don't want to talk. I figured tonight would be a busy night. Unfortunately, there were people that were on, and when we had a little quiet time when I went to vet someone out and you left, it was quiet. People were starting to freak out.
I apologize about that, too.
It's okay. It's okay. No worries. I should have let you know I was going to see who's calling in. I think it was Jennifer. I didn't know who she was.
Well,
somebody.
You did.
Or Jenny. Actually, it was Jenny. I knew.
You did tell me, but I thought maybe you were done by that time.
No, there was that.
But I didn't know.
There was another one after that. There was another one after that. I don't know who it was. But we did have a few other callers. And we do have many listeners listening because I see comments being posted. And, you know, anyway, Jenny, let's hear from you.
Well, I just want to thank everybody that's listening also and, you know, sticking their voice out there for Lizzie. It's hard. I can't imagine what she's going through in jail. The trauma that she's been put through, people that call her crazy, it makes me angry because you don't understand the trauma. And I tell this to every cop I deal with, like, well, this mom's mm-hmm. going crazy or whatever. No, well, if your kids were yanked from you, if they were being sexually abused, would you lose your shit too? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sorry, I'm trying to have a mouth, but I try to educate mm-hmm. the cops, but I'm with you, Bailey. There's not many cops I trust at all. They're paper dolls.
Yeah. You know, I always say this on every show. I'm in the middle of gun training. I have my license, and I've been training for a long time because I want to be really ready when I have a gun.
Right.
And, you know, the one thing my trainer always tells me is no one is ever going to save you but you. Cannot yeah. trust anyone to save you but you. And that's why it's so important to train, because you have a one split second to make that decision. You can't go into panic mode. But that's beside
yep.
the point. The point is that we all have to fight to save ourselves. And that goes for every part of our life. And we're living in the most messed up world. I mean, 5 years ago, you know, when I was going through all my crap, 6 years ago, 4 years ago, I never knew so much of this stuff was going on. And
yeah.
it's little by little, you know, some of you that are on, well, Jenny's probably the only one that's on here right now on our call that has been on my, you know, following me, and I've been following her for quite some time. It's just in the short time that I know you, Jenny, Sandra was saying before how we've come together. Not just
yeah.
in each of our own states, but across the nation, across the states, and across the world even. I've had guests from out of the country. So, you know, I want Jenny and Sandra to connect. I'll try to connect all of you if you're not connected yet, because you're in New York. And, you
I
know.
I guess so.
And you know, people that are in New York, you know, need to go show up at, you know, obviously they're not telling her about these hearings. They're just yanking her so she can't have any, plan up front. You know, if we knew there was a hearing, we'd have court watchers on there, you know, because
right.
usually besides the fact that if they're in person, they're also on Zoom, at least in Florida.
Here in New York, maybe Sunny knows this, that you can call up to the court every morning and see their docket. But I guess if they're not putting it online, they probably wouldn't have it on the docket, period. But I'm just wondering.
It should be a docket.
They do cartwheels to prevent court watchers from coming. Those were words from another gal, and I just love the imagery on that. Is, you know, everything to dance around, being, you know, people coming in to watch. So Lizzie did have a court watcher who drove an hour and 30 minutes. And, oh, I got Lizzie calling in. I'm going to hang up just a second, and we'll get her on the phone with us. Okay,
okay.
guys?
Okay.
Cool.
I'm going to open up everybody's mic. Jennifer, Sandra.
I've muted my so you
okay.
call anybody on.
Well, I'm gonna open everybody's up. If you can mute yourself, if you know how to raise your hand. Jennifer's hand is raised, but she's probably gonna want to talk. We have 11 minutes left, so if anybody wants to say anything quickly now, if she's able to get her on. Because she's tried before and it was mumbled and whatever. Anybody have any last minute things they'd want to share? And hope
just keep
I just don't want you to think. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, everybody keep being loud and speaking out about your truth and your story. It's the only way that we're going to shut this down.
And Hope, I don't want you to think that I was trying to shut you down with against cops. Unfortunately, in Florida, I've dealt with 3 different precincts, and I've not met one decent cop, sheriff, chief. Well, I shouldn't say chief.
Oh, I've been thrown down. I've been thrown down by cops, so I get it. I don't understand all that. The problem is that we have to enforce our law enforcement to uphold their oath. That's my only point. And you gotta
I used to throw the law in their face. I used to throw the law in their faces.
We have
to hand
keep fighting
them the paper.
It because we're lawless.
Yeah.
Well,
saying
it just so she can get records, really.
Yeah.
Just so she can get records.
I talk about paper trail, paper trail, paper trail. But in jail, I don't really think she's got any rights, unfortunately. And again, look who is behind everything. It's all been set up. So how does she have, how is some sheriff going to come in there and write a report? And, you know, why give her that kind of hope when I don't think it's going to end up being good for her? You know?
Well, it has to be some kind of record because right now they could shoot her up. They could give her some kind of medication with their control.
Well,
she's calling
certain friends every single day. She's recordings of her are on social media every single day. So if God forbid something happens, and I'm sure there's a bounty on her head, and if she comes out of jail, and that's one of our concerns.
We're all out here too, though. You got to remember that we're all whistleblowers, so we all got a bounty on us in one way or form, you know.
You're on.
Hi. Yeah, so she couldn't talk. She wanted to, but she couldn't. They were pulling her away. She needed me to just file a document for her. Yeah. But it's a really critical document, so it's good. It's going to be able to be filed.
Okay.
Yeah.
How does she sound?
You know, honestly, if this happened to any of us, I think she's doing great, right?
Right.
But is she enduring to the core trauma? 1,000%. And
she's probably so numb. Are they giving her vegan food?
No.
So she's not eating.
Fried bologna. Like the stereotypical fried bologna.
Well, so they're starving her.
Well,
for the record, they are starving her in Westchester County Prison, Valhalla, New York. She's being starved. They're starving her because they know she eats a special diet. Look, I'm kosher. If God forbid I was in jail, I couldn't eat. They probably would not give me kosher.
Right.
Somebody
from
the outside would have to be fighting for me to get me food. And these are constitutional rights. These are laws. Nobody cares. This is a very big problem.
Cute.
So, Judge, what's her name? Fiore? Fiore?
Fiore,
may God do whatever needs to be done to you because you are not human.
Yep.
You are inhumane. And all the judges underneath her that are following suit, you're not humane. You're evil. I call you Nazis. You're Nazis. They are just sick, evil. They're not animals. They're not beings. They're nothings. They're sick, evil, horrible people. And their whole crew of Nazis and bad inhumane monsters. There is a God in this world, and you can't go around treating people like this. And you will get your punishment. Not for me. but there is a God in this world. And I believe in
that
karma.
Was my car.
And I believe that I've watched it. I've watched bad people get punished. I watched my ex-husband get punished. Was it enough? No. Is he a miserable human being? Yeah. Will he ever be happy? No. I think that's what his life ended up being. And I think I don't think any of these people are happy people. That's why they do what they're doing, because they don't want you to be happy. And, you know, they want to do what they want to do and live their sick secrets, in their sick secrets. But we know the truth. Part is that nobody cares about the children. And I could tell you right now, and whoever has adult children, they are suffering.
Yes.
That trauma is lifelong. Lifelong. My son had an opportunity of a lifetime, and he fought so hard to stay, you know, in New York and do it, and he couldn't. Mm-hmm. And it's very sad because, you know, the trauma is still there. So this is where I'm constantly fighting. Anybody else? You're all open. If anybody else wants to say something.
Well, I just want to say, too, about the restraining order. So I've been to court 7 times. Two out of the 7, my ex never appeared. Then it was hit over to a referee just this past month and the month prior. And now we're going to go again. So it'll be 8 times. None of the documents were looked at, none of the accusations, harassment, assault, and stalking, which is crazy. I haven't seen the guy in 3.5 years. So, you know, you sit back and you wonder, okay, because I have a free attorney for that by the county. And, you know, I wrote her an email. I said, this is how New York State likes to pay their tax dollars. You know, I love it. I love that New York State wastes their money on joke, on ridiculous things.
Bullshit.
Can you imagine
if I
had to pay for an attorney? Oh, and then I have to go to trial because I'm not taking the accusation. So 8 times, I'm sure trial will be another. So it'll probably be 10 or 15 times going to court. I mean, really? Then my
you know, Sandra,
brought
too, Sandra, I think a lot of that, too, is the attorneys. They're exploiting the situation. They make money each time they have an appearance without doing your evidentiary hearing. And the more they drag this out, the more money they make out of this unfortunate situation. And the delay of justice is denial of justice. And you're encountering horrible things because this, you know, hasn't been resolved. There's not been an evidentiary hearing to find out if, in fact, that this temporary order of protection is even legit. So, you know, you're at the mercy of these people who are supposedly representing you and advocating for your rights, but really they're dragging it out and lining their pockets.
Sure. You never trust attorneys. They are all bar members, all attorneys, all judges. They all work together, and they all pat each other on the back. No attorney, even if they're a court-appointed attorney or you pay for one, doesn't mean they're on your side and in your best interest. It's about money and how they can get the most of it.
I actually have gotten complimented from the attorneys for speaking out because they wouldn't do it. I go, wait a minute. You're the attorney. I'm not. You're complimenting me because why? Because they don't want to get blacklisted. That's why.
Yep. I've seen that here, too, where the public defenders will just be like, well, I'm done speaking, but my client would like to say something. And I'm like, oh, dear. Because they are. They're chicken. They won't say. They don't want to get on the bad side of the judge. Yep.
It's almost like a school teacher, right? These great teachers who want to teach for these kids, but yet they are stopped by the administration because of what? Parents, laws, discrimination, you know, whatever it is, they can't do their job. And, you know, where have we failed? We,
we individually and collectively have gone through all that. Now we're in another cycle. So this part just hasn't happened to us. This has been an accumulation of our, you know, I'm 57 years old. So this has been an accumulation of everything that I have gone through. I don't really know much about everybody else that's on this call, but I know that when you get to a point and you start realizing, wait a minute, I'm not the only one here. You know, I'm not that special. I'm not Mother Teresa. I'm not the Pope. Somebody else out there with 7 billion people in the planet has a similar situation. The thing of it is they need to unite. We need to unite more. Oh. And we would be far powerful.
Yep. Well, I'm connecting you guys together because you're in New York.
Awesome.
I'm going to mute you guys because I have to close up the show. I hope that Lizzie gets to hear the show and, you know, feels we did something for her because that's what the show is about. I appreciate, Sunny, so much for giving your 2 hours and spending so much time on the phone with me, and you know I'm here for you, and whatever you decide to do, I will back you and help you in any way. I want to see this to the end. Like I said, it fell into my lap for a reason, and I feel like I have to, you know, to see it through. Any last words, closing words, because we're already over time.
Yeah, thank you, Bailey. And thank you so much. And I'm here for you, too. And if you ever need anything from me, call me, too. Like I said, I'm right in front of the laptop right now. I have Lizzie's address. If anyone wants to send her words of encouragement or support or, you know, any words of wisdom, I'm going
to stick it on the comments?
Yeah, I'm going to stick it right on the comments for you. And they look nice.
We need to talk anyways. If you want, you can call me after the show. You can call me tomorrow.
Okay.
Figuring out what the next step is. I know that you're working on the next step, but if you want to keep me in the loop, I'm going to meet you now. I would like to thank all the listeners, all the callers tonight. I'm not going to go through all your names because I know some of you dropped. But everybody that did call in and that's listening out there, commenting, please continue sharing the post, sharing the show, sharing this to groups, to anybody that may be able to help in some way or another. We need to get her out of jail. It's inhumane, and nobody ever should have to go through something like this. So she's in our prayers every single day. And again, thank you all. Thank you, Sunny, for being on tonight. Thank you, Charlie, for setting up my show and being my co-host in the beginning and helping me move forward. And Joe Cox for this Blog Talk Radio time. Again, I will upload this to SoundCloud very shortly, to Buzzsprout, which is on my website. And you guys can listen to the show. It's archived. My website is www.thenevergiveupshow.com, and just go to podcasts and you can click on the link. And please, anybody out there struggling, never give up. Have a great night.
With a little perseverance, you can get things done. That has conquered some, and nobody wants to know you now, and nobody wants to show you how. You're lost on your own. You can never surrender. And if you're you can see light.
I'm trying to say.